Kedushas Levi for Parshas Korach, Tavshin Ayin Ches. Baruch Hashem, another week of learning together. And this week we have six or seven pieces. I want to skip over the first piece, which is a very deep piece. Again, if anyone has the wisdom and understanding to fully explain the piece, I would love to learn it with you, and you could teach it to me. It's a very difficult piece. In it, the Berditchever describes how the Dor HaMidbar is a generation of Dibur, and the Dor Eretz Yisrael is a generation of Maisa, of Asiya, of action. And somehow Korach was trapped in between those worlds. Yeshua was the world of Maisa, Moshe is the world of speech, and somehow Korach ended up somewhere lost in between those worlds. Again, I don't really understand it, so we're going to skip over it for now. But Baruch Hashem, there are many other pieces for us to learn together. So we begin with the second piece, Vayikach Korach. O Yivuar, Vayikach Korach. Korach took. The parsha begins by describing Korach as taking. What exactly did Korach take? Korach took himself to the side. He separated himself from others to create his machlokas. Explains the Berditchever, ki yesh tzadik she'oved rak lasos tanug labore baruchu. The Berditchever teaches us a very important asking ourselves, why do I want to do mitzvos? What am I trying to get out of these mitzvos? There are tzaddikim who serve Hashem only to give pleasure to Hashem. Veitzel zah tzadik ein chilek imu ose tanug labore baruchu, o tzadik acher ose tanug labore baruchu. And for a person who is so selfless in that regard, it doesn't matter if I'm the one to make Hashem happy, to make Hashem proud, kiviyachol. It doesn't matter if someone else is the one to give that pleasure to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All I care about is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should get that pleasure. That's one type of tzaddik, a very selfless type of tzaddik. Aval mi shirotze lekabel schar al avodaso, but a person who's interested in receiving reward for his efforts, zerotze shu ba'atzmo yase tanug labori. He, as an individual, wants to be the one to give that pleasure to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not enough that Hashem is happy, kiviyachol, again, whatever that means, that Hashem should have what he needs, but I want to be the one who's in that position of authority, or I'm the one who's in that position of opportunity to make Hashem happy, to give Hashem that pleasure. And that's the Vayikach Korach. Sheratza shehu yikach v'lo acher. Korach said it's not enough. He was the type of tzaddik, and again, it's still called a tzaddik, but he was the type of tzaddik who felt a personal negia, a personal bias, a desire that he should be the one to give Hashem that pleasure. It wasn't enough that the pleasure should be given to Hashem, but that he should have the opportunity to be the one to give that pleasure to Hashem. And in that way, he created machlokas. It wasn't enough for Moshe to serve Hashem. I want to be kulam kadoshim. I want to be the one to give that pleasure to Hashem. V'zeh peirush Rashi, and that's what Rashi means when it says about how Korach acted, that he was lakach mekach ura la'atzmo. Lakach mekach ura la'atzmo. He made a bad choice for himself. He aligned himself in a destructive fashion. He tried to take something for himself that wasn't rightfully his. Why does Rashi emphasize that it was la'atzmo? Shebishvil zeh chalak al Moshe v'ratza lios kohen gadol. Rashi is explaining to us in what way, or why was it, that Korach, who was, again, a very smart person, as Rashi and Chazal emphasize, and the Tziv even more so, puts together Midrashim, highlighting just how great of a person Korach was, and yet he got involved in this Mekachara La'atzmo, that he separated himself, and he was Cholek on Moshe Rabbeinu, V'ratzalios Kohen Gadol. V'im haya oved rak lasos tanug labore baruch hu. But if Korach would have been more selfless, if it would have been not about his involvement in giving pleasure to Hashem, but just making sure that Hashem is properly served. So then, bavadai lo haya cholek she'ahu kohen gadol. And certainly Korach would not have argued that I should be kohen gadol. It's like the famous statement one of the tzaddikim made, I believe they say it from Rav Simcha Bunim of Preshischa, that the Rebbe Rav Bunim said, if I could trade places with Avram Avinu, there'd be no reason to trade places with Avram Avinu. Because what would a Kaddish Baruch Hu gain? He would still have one Simcha Bunim, he'd still have one Avram Avinu. So what difference does it make if he's Avram and I'm Simcha Bunim, or vice versa? Some bring it b'shem the Rabbi Reb Zusha. He had a similar Lashon. Again, that's the selflessness of the tzaddik. I mean, Korach was certainly a tzaddik, not a simple person for us to pass judgment on. But there was some negiyah ba'atzmo, there was something of himself that was caught up in this that didn't allow him to realize that what it's really about is making sure that Hashem is properly served. And it doesn't really matter if I'm the one to do the serving, to give Hashem the pleasure, or someone else does. Probably one of the best examples that I've seen in print of this idea is what the Chazon Ish writes in his Sefer Amunah and Bitachon on page 11, this is in the first parak of Amunah and Bitachon of the Chazon Ish in Os Yud Gimel, where he describes really a litmus test for a person to assess, is it about me or is it about Hashem? What's the example? The person goes to shul, and a person wants to bring home a guest for Shabbos. And by the time he asks, Yankel, would you like to be my guest for Shabbos? Can I have the opportunity of hosting you for Shabbos? Yankel says, that's very generous of you, but I already agreed to go to Beryl's house for Shabbos. Right, so how do you feel? So if it's about Yankel, if it's about making sure Yankel is provided for, assuming that Beryl can provide just as well as you, right, so then there's nothing to be disappointed about. Baruch Hashem, this person has a place to go for Shabbos. But if a person feels, I want to be the one to provide for this individual because of some pleasure that I get out of that, it's not just about making sure this person has their needs met, but it's fulfilling a certain craving of myself, so then there's something very low lishma about that. There's something very unrefined about that. And again, this is a very important idea in general in asking ourselves, why do I do the things that I do? Is it about me or is it really about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And it's a hard question to ask ourselves, but one that even, as we see here, great tzaddikim have stumbled in. In the next little piece, he cites Rashi's explanation of what exactly Korach was upset about. Okay, some additions you can't really tell if this is the next piece, but it's an unrelated comment of the Kedushas Levi. Perish Rashi. I mean, obviously, all of Torah is connected, but unrelated in the sense it's not a hemshich of the previous passage. Perish Rashi. Quotes Rashi. Right, what was it that again got Korach worked up? Rashi's full lashon is Mara Korach Lachlok on Moshe. Why did Korach choose to dispute against Moshe Rabbeinu? Niskane al nisiuso sha'alit Safan ben Uziel. He was jealous of the nisius, of the priestly appointment of who? Of Elit Safan ben Uziel. What was he jealous of? He made the following cheshbon. Rashi brings the whole thing. He says, wait, my father, Korach said, my father, Yitzhar, was one of four brothers. Amram, Yitzhar, Chevron, and Uziel. So Amram, who was the firstborn, so his sons, Moshe and Aaron, got chashuv positions. So seemingly, if I'm from Yitzhar, so I should be the next in line. Why was I skipped over? Why was I passed over that Elit Safan ben Uziel, the youngest of the brother, was given an asius greater than my own? And because of that, he was jealous of his younger cousin, who got a position that he felt belonged to him. The question of the Berditchever is why all of a sudden now, Vayikach Korach? Why all of a sudden, Lechora in a muvan, Lama lo chalak teikaf achar shemina Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha-shalmes Elit Safan? Why wasn't the appointment of Elit Safan challenged immediately when he was appointed by Moshe Rabbeinu? Why all of a sudden now is Korach making a whole machlokas out of this? Amnam, however, the answer is as follows. Kodem gezeras meraglim, hayiru'uyim Yisrael lichanis la'eret Yisrael miyad. Originally, the plan was that the Jewish people would enter into Eretz Yisrael immediately. Al Kain, Savar Korach Shegedulas Elit Safan, Lo Hayarak Zman Muat. He thought originally, okay, my cousin, Elit Safan, who happens to be a younger cousin in terms of this hierarchy of my father's brothers, right? But okay, so he'll be the Nasi for a short period of time until we get to Eretz Yisrael. The Hub Zman Muat, Yichdesul Eretz Yisrael, because in a short time we'll enter Eretz Yisrael. And I guess the assumption was that in Eretz Yisrael, the appointments and the way that things operate are going to be different. But after the decree that was issued because of the Chayda Meraglim, and he understood now that for the next 40 years we're going to be in the Midbar, there's not going to be a new vote, there's not going to be a new appointment, there's not going to be a new order of living, namely the life of Eretz Yisrael as opposed to the Midbar, but in fact we're going to be stuck in the Midbar for the next 40 years. He was jealous of the fact that what? That his cousin would be the Nasi for 40 years. Korach says, for a short period of time, I'm willing to be Mavater. But to be Mavater completely, to let such an injustice slide for 40 years, that I'm not willing to do. Again, an amazing yisod when it comes to our Ben Adam Lachavero and our own self-assessment. Sometimes a person is able to fake a particular midah for a period of time. So I can control my anger for a moment. That's a chashuv thing, but that doesn't mean that I've truly resolved my anger problem. If I'm going to explode a little while later, well, again, it's better. At least I showed some restraint. But if I haven't been able to really master that midah, mastering that restraint, whatever it is, right, then it's possible that eventually I'm going to fall apart. And again, the goal in Avodas Hashem, which is Netzach, which is Nitzchias, is that all the Midos should be all the way through. That it shouldn't matter if someone's given Kavod for a minute or if someone's given Kavod for the next 40 years. If I'm not a person who's chasing after Kavod, I should be okay with the position of authority that they've been given. Again, whether it's a short period of time or a long period of time. Korach, and again we're speaking in a very delicate way about a tzaddik, but Korach had not mastered that restraint all the way. And therefore, for a short period of time, he says, I can let such a thing slide. But what Korach, unfortunately, was not prepared to do was to accept the decree that Elitzafan should be the Nasi for a long period of time. And again, we have to ask ourselves, you know, when I'm jealous of someone or I show restraint, am I able to just be in control for a short period of time before I go back to my old ways? Again, that's not nothing, but it's not a mastery of a Midah, as opposed to truly mastering the Midah. It's like the famous Aesop's fable of the cat that was trained to be a waiter, and the cat is able to walk on its hind legs until a mouse, of course, enters the room and it throws down the tray and goes back to being a cat. So are we able to have mastery over our character to the point that we're able to maintain a particular particular disposition for a long period of time? Can I do it for 4 minutes or can I do it for 40 years? Is it all equal by me? Or am I only willing to have restraint or to let an injustice, again, a personal injustice of my own kavod, as it was in this case, am I only willing to be mevater for a short period of time? This was a struggle of Korach, and certainly a struggle that each and every one of us can relate to. The next piece. Boker v'yoda v'chulu v'sakadosh v'yakriv e'lov v'eis asher yivcho bo yakriv e'lov. In Perek Tazayin, in Pasuk Hay, the Pasuk describes how Moshe says to Korach, listen, let's wait till the morning and let's find out who Hashem actually chooses. Let's find out the one that Hashem will bring close. He's the one that Hashem has truly chosen. We'll take the machtos, we'll take the fire pans, we'll have a whole showdown and we'll decide. Hashem will decide the one who He chooses. Now you'll notice in the Pasuk, if you look carefully, again it's Perek Tazayin Pasuk Hay, the Pasuk says, Boker v'yoda Hashem es asher lo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the morning will decide, it'll make it known. Hashem will make it known, not decide, Hashem has already decided. But V'yodah will make it known to us, the one who He has chosen, the one who is holy. V'hikriv a love, and He hikriv a love, v'hikriv a love, v'esasher yivchar bo yakriv a love. So the Rishon says, what's the difference in our pasuk between the v'hikriv versus the yakriv? Is it two different relative levels of closeness that are being described here? So he begins by quoting a Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah describes that when the new moon was declared, the Rosh Beis Din would say, Mikudash, the new moon has been sanctified, and the people would respond, V'ha'am onen achrav Mikudash, Mikudash, a double lashon, Mikudash, Mikudash, right? Sanctified, sanctified, holy, holy. Yesh ledaktik, so says the Berditchver, why is that so? In the Mishnah in the second parak of Rosh Hashanah, B'pnei ma Rosh Beis Din omer Mikudash pam echad, why does the head say Mikudash only one time? And the people would respond two times Mikudash, Mikudash. Right? What is the what's implied by this repetition of Mikudash, Mikudash? Haklal hukach. The rule is as follows. There's different types of working on oneself. There's positive working on oneself. There's negative working on oneself. There's getting away from negative desires and misdeeds. And then there's the positive, active service of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Haklal hukach. If a person wants to be close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, first you need to get away from negative behavior, to distance oneself from the pursuit of pleasure. As the Pasuk says, Sur Meira Va'asei Tov. Now I have to mention here, it would be terribly unfair not to mention that this is actually how to read this Pasuk, or how to apply this pasuk to our lives, is in fact a big machlokas. Obviously, the pasuk pshat is sur meira va'ase tov. Get away from the negative and then get involved in the positive. It's teaching us an order. However, many tzaddikim, if you look in the writings of the Shem Yishmuel and the Chiddush Harim and the Divrei Yecheskel of Shinov and Parshas Vayechi, many, many examples of tzaddikim who say, no, sur meira va'ase tov. Get away from negativity through getting involved in positive actions. Sur meira through ase tov. Many, many chassidim, in particular by chassidus, have that approach, certainly by the Polish tzaddikim. I'm not sure that the Berditcher would necessarily disagree if we were to ask him, practically in my Avodas Hashem, do I have to get rid of all my Yetzirah and destroy all my negative traits before I can work on anything positively? I don't know that he would disagree with that side, but here he's presenting the more simplistic understanding of the pasuk, which is Sor Meira V'Aseh Tov. First get away, strip away your taivos, right? First get out of the dirt, and then you can start getting dressed in nice clothing. First Sor Meira, and only afterwards Aseh Tov. Sheyelech v'derech Hashem Yisparach la'ovdo b'yira ilai. He's referring to levels of Yiras Hashem. First, a person has to reach a lower level, which is, again, not being subservient to my Yetzirah. And then, a person can climb the ranks of Yira Ilah, higher level Yira Shamayim, Maila Maila Arein Sof. Then I can climb the Madregos of positive service of Hashem, and there are many. Vizewa Inyan, and this is the idea, Mishu Kvar Mufshat Meitaiva is a person who has already mastered his negative character. An amazing idea. Says the Berditcher, a person who has mastered and has full dominance and control over their taivos, so now their whole life is Aseh Tov. How can I do more for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How can I make sure that every second is filled with Torah, with Tefillah, with Avodas Hashem? Ulekadesh Shemo Yisbarach, Lasas Lo Nachas Ruach B'li Hefsek. To constantly serve Hashem every single second. I've mastered, I'm not getting away from anything negative anymore, I'm just trying to find more and more ways to more positively connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. More regularly, more deeply, the whole world of Aseh Tov, the endless world, the person who stripped himself away from the taivos and the negativity of Olam Haza. Val Pisa Yesh Lefareish HaMishnah, so perhaps we could say the Rosh Beis Din represents a person who has complete mastery over his negativity. V'hu Kvar Mufshat Kanis Kerleel, he has already detached himself from physicality. So therefore, how many times does he say Mikudash? He says it one time, Mikudash Pam Echad. Why? Hainu lekade shemo yizbach b'chol eis v'rega, ki kvar hu mufshad v'hu begeder sur meira. He has already completed the track of sur meira, and therefore mikudash. His singular goal is aseh tov. How can I serve Hashem more and more every single second? V'chol ha'am tzrichin l'shnei sugin. But most regular people, the am, the average person, so to speak, still has to work on lower level and higher level. Still has to work on Yira Tata and Yira Ilah. Still has to work on Sur Meira and still has to work on Aseh Tov. And therefore, Mikudash Mikudash. Hainu. Pam Echad Shiyazur Lahem Hashem Yisbarach Lios Begeder Sur Meira. Mikudash Hashem, please help me to sanctify myself through that process called Sur Meira. And additionally, Vishayazur Lahem Hashem Yisbarach Lios Vaseh Tov. And secondly, please Hashem help me to not only get away from the negative, but Aseh Tov to get involved in the positive. Lavodas Hashem Yisbarach B'yira Eloi, Maila Maila B'chol Eis V'rega, to serve Hashem actively growing from one level to the next at every moment. Shalo Lifsok Me'avodas Hashem Yisbarach, to never rest and to never stop from constantly finding new and better ways to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single day. And that, perhaps, is what our pasuk that we started with is alluding to. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to reveal tomorrow what? Es HaKadosh, the Holy One, v'yikrive love, and bring him close, v'eis asher yivchar bo yakrive love. And the one who Hashem chooses, he's going to bring close to him. What's being hinted to in this pasuk? Says the Kedushas Levi, zeperesh pasuk, es HaKadosh, shukvar mikudash, v'hikriv elav me'atzmo. The one who has already shown indications that he is sanctified, he's already mastered the Sor Meira, he's already drawn on his own himself close to Hashem, ve'ein tzarech sa'ad letamcho, and he doesn't need the support. He's no longer collapsing under the weight of taiva, of the oppressive nature of the Yetzer Hara. He's mastered that. As Rashi explains in Parshas Noach, there are tzaddikim who can walk alone, and there are tzaddikim who can't. As Elokim is Halech Noach, as opposed to Avram, who was able to walk on his own. That's Rashi in Parshas Noach. Ve'es asher yivchar bo, but the one who Hashem will choose, haynu shetzarech sa'od letamcho, shiyazer lo Hashem yisbarach, lekariv atzmo lavodasu liraso b'chol yisrego la'avdo be'emes, but the one who Hashem wants to choose in the future, the one who Hashem also hopes will become worthy of reaching this loftier level, such an individual, yakriv elav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to help him, has to assist him. Yakriv oso lasos ritzono la'avdo b'leiv shalem amen. What the Berdichter is picking up on in this pasuk is there's two tracks. There's the person who's already hikrivei lav, the person who's already kadosh, who doesn't need to declare a double mikudash, because he's already mastered on his own self-control of the Yitzhara, and therefore he's only trying to continuously draw closer to Hashem, but he already has a level of Kedusha, versus the one who what? The one who Hashem needs to assist, the one who HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to support, that such an individual yakriv, that he'll be able to be brought close through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's assistance. But again, for that individual, it's a two-step process. It's mikudash, to use the language of the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. The Amar Onan Achrav mikudash, to be able to gain control in Sur Meirah, and then to positively move forward in the world of Aseh Tov. Again, we are the Am. I don't think I'm speaking derogatorily towards in a derogatory fashion towards anyone who might be listening to this shir, to say that none of us assume that we have mastered the Sur Meirah, and therefore we ask you, Hashem, to help us both in Sur Meirah and Aseh Tov, to give us the opportunity to draw close to you. We'll try our best to do our part, but as you know, if Noach needed help getting around, and Noach is described with tremendous terms of endearment and honor in the Torah, and yet he still needed help, so alachas kam v'kam, Hashem. Anything you could do to help us to achieve Sur Meirah and Aseh Tov would be unbelievably greatly appreciated. That we should be zocha to yira tata, to lower level awe and respect and connection to Hashem, and then from there to climb to the higher, endless levels of yira ilai. Okay, adkan that piece. Okay, we turn to, we skip over the next tiny little piece, and we continue with lo chamor echad mehem nasasi. Moshe's very powerful response to Klal Yisrael in Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Tezvav. When Moshe is being accused here of crimes that he never committed, and Moshe becomes very upset. It's a nice way to translate Vayichar. Vayichar leMoshe Mo'od. It's not that he got angry, he was distressed, he was frustrated. Rashi says, Nitzar ad leMo'od. Moshe was very hurt by the attacks against him. And he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, Hashem, I'm really frustrated. Lo chamor echad mehem nasasi, velo hari osi es echad mehem. Moshe Rabbeinu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have I taken even one donkey? Have I taken even one thing from them? We can look in the Chassam Sofer in this week's Parsha. The Chassam Sofer talks about the traditional separation between the Melech and the Navi. That the king and the prophet are usually two different people. Take, for example, Shmuel and Shaul. Take, for example, Nasan and David. It was a chiddush that Moshe Rabbeinu was both the Nasi and the Melech. That's a big chiddush. And the reason that there's a separation of the two is because the Melech has to exert his authority and his power and to be a wealthy individual. And the Navi is the embodiment of humility. And therefore, it's unusual that the two should come together. So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying here, even though I'm often considered the Melech, as Korach himself refers to him in the Rashi earlier in the Parsha, right? Moshe Rabbeinu says, but I'm the highest person in terms of humility, and I never took even a donkey. Unlike the Melech who usually takes taxes, I haven't taken even one donkey. So how could they accuse me of being a person who's usurping the power and taking advantage of them? And more than that, v'lo hari osi as echad mehem, and I haven't even harmed one of them. I never did anything wrong to any of them. And Moshe is very pained by the accusations against them. That's the Pashup Shat. Says the Berdichever, an amazing lesson in leadership. What did Moshe mean when he said, have I taken even one donkey? Have I harmed even one of them? Look how he reads it, B'derach Pnimius and Chasidus. Haklal, says the Kedushas Levi, Moshe Rabbeinu hayamale kol Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was a person who took achrayas for every single Jew. Vayimedabek atzmo tamid l'chol Yisrael. And he felt connected individually, personally connected, and took personal achrayas for every single one. And that's what it means when Moshe says, lo chamor echad mehem nasasi. Have I lifted up even one donkey? Have I taken even one donkey? What's he really saying? Klomar, shelo nasasi guf echad miYisrael. Rakol Yisrael nasasi. Have I only carried one of them? Chamor, of course, is chumrius, is physicality. Have I only schlepped one broken Jew on my back? I've carried all of Klal Yisrael on my back. That's what he's saying. The chumrius, the physicality, the shortcomings of Klal Yisrael. I'm Moshe Ish Elokim, I'm an exalted individual. And the Jewish people are still people who are very much physical people. And I've carried not one of them, I've carried all of them. V'chein lo davakti li'ish echa mi'yisrael. And have I, right? V'lo hariosi, he says hariosi is a lashon of dveikus, like l'mana chai v're'ai, it's a lashon of friendship. Have I befriended one of them? No, I've befriended all of them. Lo debakti lishachar miyisrael. Moshe says, I haven't only been there for one Jew in his time of need. Rak l'chol Yisrael. Lo chamor echad. Right? Lo hariosi echad. It's not just one. I've been there for every single one of them. Lashon dveikus, I'm connected to them. And that's why it was so hurtful. Because no one could claim Moshe didn't give me enough time. Moshe didn't know my name. Moshe didn't pay attention to me. Despite being a person who in a certain sense was apart from the people, as is appropriate for a person of his stature, but every Jew, Be'emes, knew that Moshe Rabbeinu was available to them, Moshe Rabbeinu was a friend of theirs, and Moshe was there to carry them and to lift them up, and therefore he was so hurt to be accused of again, being a person who wasn't a proper leader. He was the ultimate leader who carried every single one of them, even the donkeys amongst them, even the most chumrius dicka Jew in the world. He was prepared to carry Klal Yisrael. And he befriended every single one of them. And he was attached to each and every one of them. And he tried to attach each and every one of them to Hashem. So Moshe is really the ultimate leader. And that's what's hinted to in his words here. And halavai, we should also be such good leaders for those around us, whether it's our family or our friends, to be there fully for people. Again, it's not an easy thing to do. Everyone needs a break. And everyone needs to feel that I'm not carrying more than I can afford to carry, or I'm able to carry. It's only for the greatest who can declare honestly, like Moshe Rabbeinu, I carried everyone, I took care of everyone, I was always available to you. No normal human being can do that. It's only for the greatest tzaddikim who have endless strength and endless advice and endless abilities. But we should all try, to the best of our ability, to try to make sure that no one, whoever our circle may be, but no one slips through the cracks. That they feel that they have a friend, and that they have a Rebbe, and that they have a father, and that they have a spouse, someone to carry them at all times. And that's the madrig of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why he was so pained by the fact that Klal Yisrael didn't recognize that. The next piece, Kilo Milibi, Perek Tazayin Pasuk Chavchas. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, again, as the Machlokas is continuing to heat up, Vayomer Moshe, bezos teirun ki Hashem shalachani lasas kol ha'maisim ha'ela ki lo milibi. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you think I'm making these things up? You think I appointed myself and Aaron? Don't you realize lo milibi, nothing that I did was of my own? It was all, as we see countless times, Moshe Rabbeinu, as he's carrying out the ultimate vision of Hashem in the Hakamas HaMishkan, Kasher Tziva Hashem, Kasher Tziva Hashem. Everything I did is Kasher Tziva Hashem. That's my whole life. There was nothing that I did. We had a couple weeks ago, Aaron lit the menorah. He didn't change anything. He did it exactly the way Hashem wanted him to do it. Everything that these tzaddikim did was nothing of their own. Ki lo milibi, I didn't create any of this. None of the acts that I performed, none of the avoda that I've done was my own creation, Moshe Rabbeinu says. What's the pshat? Ki lo milibi. V'yavur bo apasuk. With this, we can also explain apasuk a little bit later in Perek Yud Zayin, in pasuk Zayin. What does it say over there? Vayehi behi kahel ha'eda al Moshe v'al Aaron. The people gathered, they assembled against Moshe and Aaron. Vayifnu al ol moed v'nei kisaw ha'anan v'yera kvod Hashem. Right, when the people were gathering against Moshe and Aaron, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared in his cloud of glory. What was the complaint against Moshe and Aaron at this point? The pasuk earlier, I apologize, pasuk vav. Vayalonu kol adas b'nei Yisrael mimachras al Moshe v'al Aaron. The people gathered and they complained against Moshe. And what do they say? Atem hamitim es am Hashem. Look at this terrible decree that was carried out. The earth swallowed up all of these people. It's all of your fault. The fire consumed the 250 men. It's all of your fault. All of these terrible destruction, all of the terrible destruction and the killing and the death. It's all your fault. And Moshe and Aaron don't know what to do with themselves. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears, the cloud appears, and Moshe and Aaron come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Ohel Moed. So this taina against them, that they're the ones who are responsible for killing Klal Yisrael, it's a very harsh thing to say. So says the Berditra, let me explain it to you, what's going on here. HaKlal, once again, HaKlal, many klalim in this week's writings of Kedushas Levi. HaKlal, Yesha Tzadik Poel Davar, Afal Pishlo Nigzar Milamala. What were they accusing? You're the ones who killed. Don't they realize that Hashem? Moshe says, Hashem is going to show that lo milibi, I didn't make this up. And yet, a couple of pasukim later, at the beginning of Perek Zion, pasuk vav, they're complaining to Moshe, look, you just killed everyone. How could they say such a thing? And the answer is because there are tzaddikim who are able to be poel something in this world that wasn't particularly decreed by Hashem. That the tzaddik has the authority, as entrusted by Hashem, to carry out gezeros. The tzaddik with his tefillah is able to do things that Hashem didn't initially decree or intend. But other times, the tzaddik is not creating the gezera, the tzaddik is just being charged by Hashem to carry out the gezera. So the people here came to Moshe and Aaron and said, it was your idea to kill these people. It wasn't Hashem's will that you were just declaring. And Moshe responds, that's not true. V'kan choshtu Yisrael es Moshe Rabbeinu v'Aaron, shehem b'tzid kosom, polu zos b'tzid losom. You daven for the downfall of Korach v'Adasso. Look again, you're scared of any confrontation, you're scared of any opposition. You feel that you're untouchable, and you're using your lofty madregos to strike down people. And Moshe says, it's simply not true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's defending us. Lo mili bi. They're claiming, atem amisem esam Hashem. Klal Yisrael are complaining to Moshe Rabbeinu. Look, you killed the portion of Hashem's people. And Moshe says it's not true. Ki lo mili bi. Klomar. Hadavar azem in HaKadosh Baruch Hu nigzar. Hashem is the one who decreed this. V'lo anachnu b'tfilaseinu. Please don't accuse me of, God forbid, davening. Moshe, more than anyone else, again, was so hurt by this. Because whenever Moshe would really daven, it was always to daven to stop a plague, to cause Hashem to change his mind from the gezerah that he wanted to issue against Klal Yisrael. And therefore, we should never think that the tzaddikim were out to get us as a means of protecting their power or authority. Right? The tzaddik davens to save Jews, not to harm Jews. And therefore, to be accused that this was Moshe and Aaron, again, exerting themselves to just protect themselves, was particularly hurtful. Okay, and we'll end with the final piece in the parsha, and that is on the words Bris Melach Olam Hi. It's much later in the parsha, in Perek Yud Ches. So give me just a moment to turn my chumash. In Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Tes, as it describes the offering of the firstborn, the pasuk says Kol Trumas Hakadoshim Asher Yerimu Bnei Yisrael LaHashem. Nasati lachol v'nechol v'nosach yitcha, lachok olam bris melach olam hi, lifnei Hashem. Bris melach is an eternal covenant of salt, lifnei Hashem lachol izaracha itach, for you and your offspring. It's an eternal covenant of salt. What does it mean? It's an eternal covenant of salt. So Rashi comments here, bris melach olam says Rashi, karas bris amaron, the covenant that's being created here with Aaron and his descendants, but Dover Habari is something healthy. Salt obviously has the implication of something that lasts a long time. Salt is used to protect and to preserve and to avoid spoilage. So the Bris Melach means what? A covenant of salt means what? That this is a long-lasting covenant. It's a Dover Bari, it's a healthy covenant. It's not something that's going to spoil. It's Umskayim, Umavriya Sacherim, and it causes others to be healthy. It'll protect others. Right, this the quality of this relationship is one that is not only short lived, but is something that will last for a long time. Just like salt, says Rashi, kibris hakrusa lemelach, like the covenant which is cut with salt, which is decided with salt, she'inu masriach laolam, that it's not going to spoil. This is the relationship and the promise that was given to Aaron, and by extension, of course, to the descendants of Aaron. Kahuna, of course, is a very beautiful thing. And kahuna is for everyone or not for everyone? Well, on the one hand, we're called the Mamleches Kohanim V'goy Kadosh. So in a certain sense, we are a people of Kohanim. And at the same time, of course, there are actual Kohanim, a portion of Levi, to the exclusion of those who are Levian. Korach wants and should be a Kohen. And what is the message of the Bris Melach? When the kahuna is referred to, the covenant with Aaron is referred to as a Bris Melach, an eternal covenant. In what way is this a response to Korach? So explains the Kedushas Levi in the final piece in the Parsha. Nemar achar meiser Korach. After the whole incident of Korach and the challenge of Aaron's authority and Moshe's authority, it's at the end of the Parsha, Bris Melach Olam Hi. We learn at the end of the Parsha, again, in describing the gifts that are given to the Kohanim, but it's described as a Bris Melach. How is this a response to Korach? Ki Korach ratza lios kulam Kohanim v'lo Levim. Korach wanted that everyone should be a Kohen. Again, this notion of Mamleches Kohanim in the most literal sense. And there are tzaddikim who say, there are svarim, very deep svarim, that indicate to us, the Rebbe of Kamarna writes about this in several of his svarim, that lasad lavo, everyone is going to be a kohen. But Korach was dochek as hashach. Korach was pushing a little bit ahead of time. He wasn't willing to wait for the right moment. So Korach wanted that everyone should be kohanim and not levim. The kohen mora al chesed. Kohen, Kabbalistically in the Zohar, kohen is the concept of chesed, while Levi is the concept of din. The Sfarim bring a remez to this idea, a simple remez, that chesed is gematria 72, and if you add the three letters of chesed, it's 75, which is gematria kohen. Levi is the concept of midas hadin. So Korach wanted that everything should be chesed. Rotzel yos hakol chesed, uve emes sarach shi hadin v'rachim ba'olam. But the response to Korach is, well, yes, Olam Chesed Yibaneh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bereishis Bara Elokim, and then he added more Chesed to the world, and maybe Lasad Lavo, the world is going to be Kulo Chesed, we don't know. But the bottom line is, Korach, you're asking for something which is not balanced. And right now the world needs Chesed, and the world needs Midas Adin, and the world needs Rachmim, and it's the balance of all of these Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that allows the world to operate. What on earth does that have to do with salt? How is salt the response to Korach? Explains the Ramban in the beginning of Vayikra. When the Torah talks about salting our karbanos, the Ramban HaKadosh, as he's referred to by the Redditcher, explains, HaMelech hu koach esh asher b'mayim. Salt somehow has the properties of esh as it's extracted from water. We know salt comes from the water, it can be extracted from the water. Nimtza HaMelech hu min koach esh u'mayim. And therefore salt somehow serves as a bridge between the world of fire and the world of water. Again, fire and water, din v'chesed. Fire is midas hadin, and water is so often compared to chesed. And therefore salt represents that balance, that ability to somehow straddle the world of din v'chesed. And that's what the response to Korach is. Shneam heim hanhagos olamos. That yes, bris melach olam. That we need this balanced covenant for the world to function. It can't be that everyone is a Kohen, and while yes, there is an aspect of Amlechas Kohanim, V'goy Kadosh, so yes, you are correct in a certain sense, Korach, that Kol Eida, Kulam Kadoshim, and everyone should be a Kohen. There is a deep truth to that, and it's true even now in our world before Mashiach, and even more true once Mashiach comes, but right now in a revealed sense, we need Kohanim, we need Levim, we need Yisraelim, we need Chesed, we need Din, we need Rachamim. And that's why after the Maisa of Korach, it tells us here about the Bris Melech. Laharos ki batel Maisa Korach, shiratzilios kulo chesed. We can't have a world that's kulo chesed. We need a world that's still salty. A salty world means a world that's both fire and water, that's din v'chesed. It's a mix of the elements. V'lo kenhu. And we're not ready for a world of kulo chesed, ki tzarach lios din v'chesed. Halavai, we should understand how to live those balanced lives, not to get ahead of ourselves, not to be too slow, of course, in moving towards the Geula, but at the same time, not to overstep, not to challenge the authority, not to accuse our leaders of being selfish, again, as we saw how hurt Moshe Rabbeinu was by that, and to realize that we all have a lot of work to do, both in Sur Meira and in Aseh Tov, and to try, as we started, the very first piece that we learned together, to serve Hashem for the sake of Hashem, and to detach our personal negios, our personal bias from the thought process. And again, the example that we said from the Chazon Ish, to invite someone to your house for Shabbos, is it about them or is it about you? If it's about you, then it's not really a fully lishma type of avodas Hashem. The true tzaddik is the one who's able to take himself out of the picture. And Korach, unfortunately, was lakach mekach rala atzmo. There was a little too much atzmo that he wanted to serve Hashem and give the pleasure to Hashem, and not only Moshe Rabbeinu. So Mirtz Hashem, we should strive for these very high levels of balanced, healthy, proper avodas Hashem, to give nachas ruach tovinu shva shemayim, and then Mirtz Hashem will be zochot to that world of lasad lavo, which is kulo chesed. We should see it very speedily in our days. I wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos.